Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with Father Angelo Geiger from the Friars of the Immaculate in Griswold, Connecticut. Thank you for joining me today, Father.
You're welcome.
We often talk about the horrors of abortion and the tragedy that has been foisted upon this country, but it seems that one demographic group has really suffered the true brunt of abortion in the United States, and the Alan Guttenmacher Institute, which is the research affiliate of Planned Parenthood, points out that in the year 2005, 683,294 abortions were performed on black women, and that was 56% of all abortions. I mean, obviously, that is a really disproportionate number of abortions being performed on black women. Why is this so, and why isn't anybody talking about this?
Well, first of all, the statistics come from Planned Parenthood. That's the thing to point out. And then secondly, Planned Parenthood's always been a racist organization from the very beginning, with Margaret Sanger herself referring to blacks and people of color as human weeds, and specifically targeting ethnic populations for abortion and birth control, and even recruiting black ministers to promote the ideology of Planned Parenthood, using them sort of for manipulative purposes. There's a letter between Clarence Gamble, who was the heir of the Procter & Gamble
fortune
that was written in 1939 to Margaret Sanger in regard to the quote-unquote Negro Project, which was a creation of Planned Parenthood to target black people for abortion. And part of her response to Clarence Gamble was, quote, "We should hire three or four colored ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities. The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members."
Yeah, I remember reading something about that, about her specifically, in that she targeted the black community through the ministers and their churches, and like the devil loves to do, sell them something that seemed really altruistic, saying, you know, the only way to get out of the ghetto is to have less babies. So she was helping them to promote birth control,
right,
and obviously, when that failed, abortions. And they bought it hook, line, and sinker. And it's easy to do because, like I said, they were trying to give them a reason to say that they were helping them get out of poverty by having less children. But this is really taken a toll on the community. Is anybody looking at the toll that's been taking?
There are a few, but not nowhere near as many as there should be. I mean, there's Martin Luther King's niece who's been speaking out against abortion, and there's a few ministers like Reverend Clennard Childress, who is in charge of the Black Genocide Project, which is blackgenocide.org, who are pointing out these problems, but it's largely going unaddressed. And so, for example, Barack Obama has had this this flap over Reverend Wright and his anti-white, or you know, very, seems rather, you know, bigoted,
racist
remarks that he's made. And Obama has basically excused Reverend Wright on the grounds that he was preaching the social gospel. And of course, blacks have a reason to feel disgruntled and to be speaking their minds on issues of racism and oppression. And that's basically the excuse that he's given for the comments of Reverend Wright. But in fact, you know, one of the biggest offenses of racism that exists in this country right now is what we're talking about, is the fact that that black populations have been targeted by these organizations for abortion. And, you know, Barack Obama is poster child for Planned Parenthood. They sent out they send out Valentines every year to kids and people all across America. And this year, it was his picture that was on the Valentine. So he's become their poster boy, and he's got 100% approval rating from Planned Parenthood. He even voted against the
Born Alive
Protection Act in Illinois, which is basically just that if a child survives an abortion, that the should it would be by law would require them to provide the child with medical attention. He voted against that.
Yeah.
He's got the worst anti-life voting record there is, you know, for the length of time that he's been a senator, you know, or he's been in various legislatures, but he's got a terrible record.
And he's
doing Planned Parenthood's bidding, which is racist. You know, it's a racist bidding.
I mean, this just seems so surprising that after all these years that the black community is still being duped by Planned Parenthood. And there's only, like you said, only a few people who are speaking out against this. Elvita King, that you mentioned, she is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I know she is involved with Priest for Life, and she speaks on a national level. And she's challenging, I understand, Barack Obama and some of the other black politicians on this issue, because the number one cause of death, by far, of African Americans in this country is abortion.
Right. Just recently, in connection with that, American Life League has been released a video on YouTube pointing out the way in which Planned Parenthood is using federal funds, which it does receive, to promote its agenda, and it's got a pretty radical advertising agenda to promote birth control and abortion, and they actually produced a video and put it up on YouTube, American Life League, that was pulled down by YouTube for a short period of time. They got their lawyers on it, and YouTube put it back up. But it was very clear why it came down. It was a flagged video, but they said that basically they had problems with their server, and they reestablished the connection. And then also on YouTube in the last couple of weeks was a video released by I don't know what the source was or if it's been revealed, but of tape recordings that were done at Planned Parenthood facilities of an actor who was calling them up and saying that he wanted to donate money, but he wanted to have it specifically earmarked for black babies because he had a boy and he didn't want affirmative action to be a problem for his boy being able to get into college and this type of thing. And they said, fine, whatever you want to earmark the money for is fine.
Which is so offensive. I mean, anybody would be offended by that, and you'd think, you know, this is a hoax, whatever, you know, hang up. But they
accepted the money. Yeah. So, I mean, none of this is news, should be news, really. To most people, it is. You know, Planned Parenthood is a racist organization, and it's never repudiated the ideals of Margaret Sanger. It's a very strange phenomenon in one way. I think culturally we've come to just to accept abortion as necessary. I mean, it comes back to the same old thing that most people don't want to talk about, which is that abortion is simply necessity for failed contraception.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And aside from that, in the black community, there's a tremendous problem of fatherlessness. You know, a number of children that are born out of wedlock is, you know, incredible. It's going up in every community, but it's extraordinarily high in the black community.
Yeah, I mean, it is really so sad that they've allowed that we've allowed
abortion becomes all this. Abortion becomes an easy solution for that problem.
And like you say, it wasn't by accident that the majority of Planned Parenthoods are in the inner city.
Right.
You know, very easy access for their target.
That's right. 56% of all abortions are black abortions, when only 13% of the female population is African American.
That's really a tragedy that more people need to talk about. And really, when you talk about social justice, there's only so much that a government can do. But, you know, as far as feeding the poor and housing the poor, but really putting protecting
people.
Babies,
yeah, absolutely,
should be their number one priority.
Yeah.
And this really needs to come to light, and people really need to start, you know, thinking about what they're doing when they're voting for these pro-abort politicians. They're really feeding this Planned Parenthood, which over half of their profits is government funded. You know, they make $305 million off of government taxpayers' money, and why? So that they can exterminate.
Well, this is the point of American Life League, and I think their video is very effective. More people should know about it. It is still available on YouTube, and people should know about the way in which Planned Parenthood is targeting people and using government money to target people for abortion, especially ethnic minorities.
So why don't we take just a quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this, and we'll come back in about a minute. See you then.
Sure, I signed the consent form, but I didn't really read it. I needed money to pay my college bills, so I sold my eggs to the fertility clinic. The procedure was really painful, and my mom was upset. Now I find out that it might cause kidney failure, ovarian tumors, and sterility. Some women even die from it.
Embryonic stem cell research will require millions of eggs, and women will pay a terrible price.
Hey guys.
Hello.
Anything interesting?
Yeah. Adult stem cells currently treating over 69 diseases and conditions. Wow.
How about embryonic stem cell, the one in the news?
Let's see. After decades of testing, still no treatments or cures. And some scientists now want to create human clones to harvest embryonic stem cells for experimentation?
Remember Dolly the sheep? It's the same process. The somatic cell nuclear transfer.
They want to clone humans?
Yeah. There's lots of questions to ask about stem cell research.
We're back. Thank you. So, Father Angelo, when we talk about the social gospel, and you say that Jeremiah Wright, the reverend from Barack Obama's church, is pushing the social gospel but leaving out abortion as one of the issues, what are we talking about?
Well, I think we've got to point out the fact that that when our Lord came among us as the Son of God, I mean, he's second person of the Blessed Trinity, and he becomes a man. He does so for our redemption, to save us from our sins, to save us ultimately from hell. And so we need to repent of all of our sins. I think a lot of times the gospel gets hijacked for sort of narrow-minded purposes and in the interest of certain interest groups and ideologies very often. And while some of these causes may be good in themselves, I mean, the gospel gets off track and is adulterated. That this is what happens with liberation theology. Obviously, there's injustice perpetrated against the poor and it's a matter of justice to perform the works of mercy on behalf of the poor and the suffering and the marginalized. But it's all a part of that repentance that belongs to each and every one of us, that act of humility by which we turn away from sinfulness and selfishness and come to Christ and beg him for his grace and for his mercy. Ultimately, we know that we answer to him, and we have to follow in his path, which is to liberate the poor and to set prisoners free and all of the rest. But it's first to set us free from the slavery of sin, and it's all sin, everything that offends God. So we can't narrow the gospel to simply the eradication of poverty on the one hand, or the eradication of various forms of social injustice, including racism, and then just think about that and forget everything else. That's why it seems that this very vehement and inflated rhetoric that's being used by Reverend Wright on behalf of the black community against racism, and yet there's this deafening silence in regard to abortion, just seems to indicate that this is, you know, the gospel derailed.
Right. There's almost like we talk about cafeteria Catholics. It's almost the same type of thing, where you're cafeteria. You're only using parts of the gospel that fit your own purpose.
That you're comfortable with.
Sometimes I think when Jesus was asking us to feed the poor and to clothe the naked and to, you know, visit the sick, was he talking to us as a society, or was he talking to us as individuals? You know, I mean, is it really, what would Jesus do? Would he vote for the person who is going to make the government take money from the rich and give to the poor? Or would he promote within our own communities the idea that need to volunteer and help the poor ourselves? I mean, we gain money more graces by going to visit the sick ourselves than, you know, giving the government, you know, $100,000 a year to do it.
Our Lord is speaking to us as individuals, certainly, that we are personally responsible for those around us, the poor, the sick, the suffering, the destitute, the hungry, the naked. We're personally responsible. That's why, you know, that question in the Garden of Eden after the death of Abel, you know, where's your brother? And Cain says, Am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes, you are. So it's a personal responsibility that we have. Now, the Catholic Church in her social teaching has criticized both socialism and capitalism, unregulated capitalism, as being both not in the interests of the individual and the family. Not to say that capitalism has been condemned outright, but, you know, it needs to be subject to the rule of law and directed towards the good of the individual and of the family. So, but certainly the Church advocates that we should take personal responsibility for the poor and for the needy, and that's what our Lord is talking about directly in the gospel. People are free to adopt whatever political philosophy they want, as long as it's not contrary to the teaching of the gospel. The gospel doesn't advocate a particular political philosophy, but it does exhort us to be personally, take personal responsibility for those who are in need around us.
It's funny because at the March for Life, I ended up running into a fellow who was, you know, protesting our protest, and you know, brave soul. So I approached him, and you know, he was poo-pooing the gospel except for the part about communism. He said, obviously, that Jesus was a communist, and he agreed with that. So I just kind of, you know, spoke with him about, you know, we do need to take responsibility and help our neighbors and the people around us, and that if you look at the...
I don't know what part of the gospel...
I was laughing so hard when he said that, but I said, you know, if you look at the way people tithe, the states that have the highest tax rate, even though they might be rich, like Connecticut, has a really high tax rate, we have a lot of money, tithe less than states that have less money but are taxed less.
Yeah, they just released Obama's tax returns, and he gave very, very little in terms of charity. He didn't tie that by any stretch.
Because if you feel that the government's responsibility to take care of the poor, give money to research, to do, you don't need to do that. Whereas if we had less, you know, money taken from individuals, they would then direct the money to places that are going to do the best job as far as taking care of the poor, do the best research, and do all these things that we now think the government should do, but we know how absolutely inefficient the government is.
Yeah.
So I thought that, you know, that was a really interesting conversation that we had. But we need to be able to get more people on board with the idea that we need to take care of each other, and not just, you know, people of the same faith or the same race, and we really need to help the African American community to stop killing their own babies.
Yeah, and stop the racists who are the white racists who are sponsoring that, you know.
Yeah,
which is, you know, Planned Parenthood.
But I've even heard pro-life people, or who think of themselves as pro-life, say that we need abortion because you don't want those babies on welfare, and they don't want to support those babies.
Hillary Clinton say essentially that some years ago when she was first in the Senate? Maybe it would be less expensive to abort them than to put them on welfare.
I mean, that's just simply ludicrous. I mean, so who's to pick and choose? Which poor babies do you want to kill? Which ones do you want to live and put on?
Well, all of them. I mean, the fewer the better, I would imagine, is the philosophy. Certainly it's the philosophy of Planned Parenthood. It was philosophy of Margaret Sanger, the fewer the better.
And I understand, though, that a lot of the African-American leaders, including Martin Luther King Jr., were very pro-life at one point. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until after, I guess, the Democratic Party decided to put abortion on their platform, mm-hmm. that they actually changed and really did start promoting it within their own communities.
Yeah, according to this Reverend
Childress,
he talks about some things that Martin Luther King said just before he died. I think the Sunday before, he talked about the fact that the early church put an end to the evils of infanticide, and he was trying to exhort the churches to do more to speak out against the social evils that were present in his own day. So he identified a problem that we're experiencing now that's associated with abortion and condemned it.
Yeah, it's really a tragedy.
His niece certainly believes that he would have been pro-life.
Exactly. I was just going to say, I mean, it's really even more of a tragedy when you look at it that, you know, had he been around after 1973, what if, you know, he could have been around to really help the community not go down the, you know, pro-abort path and really held them firm together. It seemed like they fractioned off of at least that message. And I think he might have held them more stably engrossed in that message of pro-life.
I do think the left is far more willing to engage in social engineering, you know, and to take these massive problems and address them not by, say, for example, restoring the traditional family and seeing to it that the father takes responsibility for the children he conceives and promoting the good of traditional marriage and all this, but rather would rather enter into these massive problems with social engineering type solutions, and I think abortion is one of them, you know.
And it always yeah, makes
just
me
throw money at it and build clinics and have the government fund abortions, and that's the way to deal with these problems.
And it always makes me leery when they start talking more and more about how we need to get our kids into more pre-K, you know, all of that, you know. But
yeah,
the government wanting to take more control of your kids at an earlier age,
sure.
and really, you know, make it so that, you know, families do have to be a part, and that the government has more and more role in the children's lives by either not supporting the traditional family and trying to keep the mother at home, you know, to be able to raise her family. And it's really coming to roost now that we're really disintegrating as a society.
You wonder how far I can go, but it keeps going.
I know. But the African American community is really hurting from all of these social engineering things like welfare, and the father can't be at home because she can't collect her check
mother.
If the man's if the man's there. So the mother has to, be without the father, and it's just really made for a mess in their community. And now more and more women are turning to abortion when birth control fails, if they're using it at all.
Well, it's an easy fix. Or that's what they think, anyway. You can go in and get it done, and it's over with. And that's the deception of abortion, you know. And Planned Parenthood is—they're more than eager to perpetuate the deception, to make it available easily, and to tell the women that it's relatively painless and quick, and forget about it afterwards.
And I really, really feel bad because, like you say, I mean, who's heard of Elvita King besides, you know, the pro-life movement or even this Reverend Childress? They really need to get more airtime and really try to make the African-American community stop and think about what they're doing to their own community. You know, we're all against racism, and they're fighting the good fight in so many fronts, but there's nothing that kills more African-American babies or people every year than abortion. I mean, this is really devastating to their community. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to stand up for them if they're not going to stand up for themselves. You know, they really have to start getting angry and really start to help these women bring their babies to term and bring families together.
Yeah, there need to be more voices among the pastors. In Connecticut, there's a lot of pastors, black pastors, are speaking out against same-sex marriage. Not quite as many speaking out against abortion.
And I guess I'm puzzled as to why. Is it just a political thing, or?
No, I think because the situation with the number of children that are born out of wedlock and lack of fatherlessness. I think that's probably a big part of it.
Well, but abortion, you know, perpetuates that. If the man doesn't have
that,
to take responsibility.
I know that, but the welfare programs and the like you say, the inner city availability of abortion has just created this culture and the ease of the solution. But, you know, you've got Planned Parenthood and their cronies who have pushed this. You know, they've engineered this to be this way.
And this goes back way, way back to the 40s and 50s. Obviously,
and they continue to do it.
Yeah.
They continue to do it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you've learned something. We hope that you talk to your family and friends about the things that you've learned. And we hope when you look in the mirror the next time, you realize yours is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.